Hi, welcome back. Okay, now, miraculously, Matthias has morphed into Matthijs, another Matt, but a slightly different one. So, Matt, the guy in the Cortana shirt here, what are you? Our Enterprise-like big shot guy? Whatever.
So. Yeah, I feel a little bit underdressed, to be honest. You guys all buttoned down, and I'm in a T-shirt. I'm the Enterprise guy.
Yeah.
So I'm in the Enterprise Developer Marketing. So everything related to Enterprise, line of business apps, that's... my interest.
Good. A warm welcome to the Jumpstart. So
yeah, thank you for having me.
Through all this enterprise stuff.
Exactly. So let's get cranking, right? And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask.
All right.
So let's get started about Windows Phone 8.1 for their enterprise developer. So basically, I want to go through Windows Phone stuff, which I think is interesting for the enterprise developer. Most of the stuff will be the same as. For all the Jumpstart content is reusable for the enterprise developer, but I want to highlight some stuff which I think is interesting for you guys. So the agenda for today is a little bit about the enterprise enhancements we did for Windows Phone 8.1, why you would consider building apps for the enterprise, talk about the Converged Developer Platform, and specifically about the authentication and security part of the platform. A little bit about the company portal, and in the end I have some things about how you can start distributing these enterprise line of business apps to your end users, and maybe some extra ideas or inspiration for you guys to start building. So we think that Windows Phone is even better for businesses. Let me unpin this one. How do you do that?
There we go.
There it goes, yeah.
There you go.
So we think with Windows Phone 8.1, we have a great story for enterprises. We have a large choice of different devices. The experience between Windows and Windows Phone is great. That means that you don't have to teach users how to use these devices multiple times. We have great built-in support for productivity, like Office 365, Exchange, Link, if it's in the cloud or on-premise. We have a great Converged Developer Platform. We talked about this already for 2 days, and there's another day tomorrow.
Yes.
And we probably can spend some more days if you want. And you can manage and secure it with your existing infrastructure, like Intune, or maybe an MDM environment, like a Mobile Iron or AirWatch. All based on the Windows core and security architecture. This slide we show to enterprise all the time, it stands for choice and price range and consistency as well. So it doesn't matter if you buy the more affordable Lumia 520 or the larger screen Lumia 1520, you build your app, it will run on all the devices. What's interesting is that you can go from the price range up to, I think, around $100 nowadays for the most affordable device, and the apps will still run. Especially in a corporate liable environment, when the boss buys you the phone for a certain scenario in the field, this makes a really, really interesting case. All these devices are manageable by an MDM environment, Office is in there, there's navigation software in there. It's a great proposition for enterprises. So, you guys can build, obviously, all this new and unique experience on top of the Windows and Windows Phone platform. One of the most popular applications, by the way, with people run for internally is like the People Finder or the address book kind of application.
Oh, so they can find out where their employees are.
Exactly. Yeah, so yeah. It's like intranet 1.0 all over again. I see that with a lot of scenarios. So that the most popular scenarios are around productivity, finding people, finding some information, getting customer data on the device. Obviously, when you bring corporate data on your device, security is important. So we will cover that in a bit. So let me show you a few sample enterprise applications. I have one on my phone. Yes. So one of the applications we use at Microsoft is the Campus Experience app. Let me log into that one. What this app does is, for one, is we have a large campus, it's over 100 buildings. Obviously, this application only available for Microsoft employees. That's why I have to log in. When I want to go from one building to another building, I can order a shuttle. So let's order a shuttle. I'm in Redmond Town Center. I want to go to Studio E together with Andy. And I can now order a shuttle. And it will track the shuttle for me. Wait a little bit. And we'll zoom in. There's the car. And it said, well, it's going to take 3:50 before it's here. And I can track it. So while I'm waiting in the lobby, I know when the car will come. Let us cancel that, because otherwise the guy will be here for nothing. Another one would be a nice one is a whiteboard snap. So I'm here in a meeting. We run a whiteboard. I can make a picture. Andy, it's you again. And I can immediately share to the people in the meeting I'm with. Really easy and convenient. Just little, small little things which makes life easier on campus. Another application I built in the past is in the Dutch office. We have a parking garage underneath the building. There's a limited amount of space for Microsofties because we reserve space for visitors, obviously. Before you're in line in the parking garage and it's full, you have to back up, go to the overflow parking garage. You can use this app.
Those darn customers taking up our parking spaces.
Yeah, darn customers. So yeah. You know before you leave the highway if you have to go to the other parking garage. Yeah. And they're now updating it with geofencing as well. And I know we already pretty well covered it in another session.
We did.
Geofencing. So you go off the highway, you get the toast notification, there's place or there's no place. Things, simple things like that. But it could also be a field engineering app. So I'm on the road, I have to do some kind of work. I have some jobs I have to do. Repair a TV or install an setup box, for example. This is the things I do, this is the stuff I need. I can finish the job, ask the customer for an autograph, submit it, and be gone. So simple things.
Nice. Simple things, but yeah, all good for enterprises, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So all this infrastructure, and this part is a little bit about the infrastructure a developer needs for securely developing and deploying applications. This is the common architecture of Windows Phone. We start from the hardware. We start the bootloader only when it's signed. We're using UEFI firmware hardware. It's a standard. After the bootloader, we load.
That means that the bootloader can't be compromised.
Exactly. So if it's compromised, we won't load it.
Yep.
The kernel is signed as well. We check those keys. Once the kernel is loaded, then we start loading the drivers and part of the OS. Everything needs to be signed. There's a user partition with the apps. All the apps run in the sandbox. And they can't get out of the sandbox. Application needs to be signed, either by you or by Microsoft. And we have secure connections to the cloud as well. So everything is just from the hardware up until the cloud is secured. If it's like the secure browsing environment with smart screen, we have BitLocker encryption for the device, so your data, your corporate data is encrypted on the device. We can use IRM and SMIME to protect information leakage, and you can use it for email, and there's an API for you to use in your own application as well. So yeah, this is the things that enterprise care about, security. But I think we have one of the best security solutions in the market at the moment. With Windows Phone 8.1, we introduced a lot of enterprise features. There's much more device management capabilities, extra policies, things you can disable and enable. We can do much more configuration on the device. We can distribute certificates. We covered that a little bit. You can distribute and update applications. You can configure VPN, SMIME, enterprise Wi-Fi. So all the basics an enterprise wants to as an infrastructure for your applications, we now added to Windows Phone 8.1.
Yeah, things like the secure Wi-Fi, the VPN, and the encrypted email, they've been big asks, haven't they?
Yes,
for enterprises.
Yeah. Especially cool. VPN was one of the biggest ones,
yeah.
So we covered that.
Cool, yeah.
So now let's switch to how are we going to build enterprise apps? So you're thinking, well, how do you build enterprise apps? It's going to be really, really different, right?
No, it's not. Well, it's more the deployment, isn't it? And you're going to talk
about exactly.
About
it. So building apps is just the same as a regular Windows Phone app. It's just using the same SDK. It's the same, but not quite. And we'll cover a little bit why. I think it's a little different. It's mobile is hot, and everybody wants to find a silver bullet to start building apps for the entire ecosystem. And is HTML5 the answer? Well, sometimes. So let's go over a little bit of the thinking you have to do before you start building apps for Windows or Windows Phone. So what are the typical scenarios you come by? And a lot of this stuff is already covered in other sessions, and I will cover a little bit in mine. So storing and synchronization data. So the next chapter will be about SQLite. Identity management. How do you authenticate and authorize people? You can still use push notifications. How do you integrate with cloud and your backend services securely? How do you integrate with your enterprise systems? How do you manage your device? How do you manage your applications? How do you manage your content? So it's distribute your apps, monitoring if they're still healthy. So the thing what I found when I talk to enterprise developers is that they are more interested in those kind of scenarios. They still want to use, I don't know, media APIs or do some smart stuff with XAML and make a great user experience.
Well, that cool video editing.
Exactly, but they have other concerns which might not be part of the considerations when you build just consumer apps, for example. Yeah. And before you start building apps, we have things to consider. Okay, what is the form factor you need? Is it a small, cheap, or more affordable device? Do we want a bigger screen real estate for a scenario? Do we want to use natural user interface? Sometimes you only use keyboard and mouse, so you have to use a tablet, for example. Do you need offline capabilities? What kind of sensor do you need? So sometimes building cross-platform apps makes sense to use HTML, and we support it with a great IE11 and WinJS support as well. But for a lot of scenarios, that doesn't make sense. So before we start choosing technology, these are the things and the thinking people have to do. Battery life might be important because sometimes you're on the road the entire day. You don't have the chance to charge your phone near all the time. Offline, if you're an engineer working with people at home and you don't have a data connection and you can't help the people, that doesn't make sense. So these are the considerations before you start choosing what kind of technology you use. So let's switch to authentication. So part of getting to the corporate data is through authentication. You have to know who are you really who you say you are, do you have permissions to access the data. So we have some support for authentication, like basic authentication, NTLM. We cannot use client certificates. Unfortunately,
that's new, isn't it?
Unfortunately, no Kerberos authentication. That's something we get asked a lot. We can use single sign-on through VPN. So when you have a VPN connection, we can pick up the credentials from VPN and use that with Internet Explorer or your own app. Obviously, ADFS, OAuth, and all that stuff through the web authentication broker. We will cover that a little bit, and it was already covered in another session, but that is a part of the technology we have available now to start doing authentication. Azure Active Directory is an interesting one, and I have a little sample of how you would work with that. We just launched a library. It's called ADAL for Windows. It's coming for Windows Phone as well, which help you authenticate against different authentication providers. It would be Facebook, Google, Microsoft, at your own Active Directory as well. So with VPN support, we can now we have two different kinds. It's destination triggered. So I go, for example, to my internet page, and it will automatically set up your VPN. And we can have a per application VPN connection. That means whenever my application started, that tunnel will be created. All traffic will go through the tunnel. And when I use another application and needs another VPN, that tunnel will be created automatically as well. The per application VPN needs to be configured through an MDM environment. That's something you can't do manually. Out of the box, we support IPsec, IPv2, and we have several SSL VPN providers, which is a little download from the store. So think about Juniper, F5, things like that, and we're going to add more in the future. And when you configure it, you can choose if it's split or forced tunneling. So, for example, your application traffic will go over VPN, but the internet traffic will still go over your Wi-Fi or your data.
That's cool.
If you want to use single sign-on for your internet with IE or from your own application, you need to specify the enterprise authentication capability in your manifest. It's the same on Windows. When you want, for example, to use your domain account, you have to specify it as well. So that's what we use as well. As I said, you can provision this through MDM. So the web authentication broker, and I know you already covered a little bit. I still want to come back to this because I think there's some scenarios you can do for an enterprise as well.
Yeah, we covered it at the end of the networking session briefly.
Yeah,
and then I did a demo that failed.
All right.
I got a 401 unauthorized. So I think maybe I don't know. I'm not sure. Twitter maybe bounced my account or something.
That could be, yeah. Oh, I should have changed your password, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, let's go
so
through
anyway,
it.
So anyway, yes, I showed the code. I wasn't able to show it working.
Okay, so I have a little bit of code. Let's the context. Many apps connect to popular online services, but could also be your own service, Office 365, or your own Active Directory.
Yeah.
So I have a sample in a minute about connecting to my own directory. They all implement, or most of them implement OAuth, and the problem is it's a lot of work to create, right? So this is the flow normally. I have my online services, I have my application, I want to authorize, so I go there, it asks me for a login and a password. If you're unlucky all the time, the user provides that, there's an authorization page. Do you allow this app to access this this data, your photos, your emails or your documents, and if you say yes, there will be a token for your application, and after that, life's easy, you just pass the token with every request.
Yeah.
Simple OAuth flow. It took me a while to understand this stuff, but that's basically what happens all the time, even if it's Flickr, Twitter, Facebook, or any active directory for Azure directory. There are some problems, obviously. It's no single sign-on. The credentials are not isolated. It's inconsistent because every application can have another experience. And we have the difference with Windows and Windows Phone is that Windows phones are using low memory.
Okay, 5 to 12 meg devices.
Yep. Exactly.
They and have to be supported.
During authentication, your app might be killed because we want to use the memory for mail sync, listening to audio, do some Bluetooth connection with your car kit. And I don't know, we do a lot of crazy stuff in the background and we still manage to run some apps, which is pretty amazing,
quite
to
impressive.
Be honest. It's quite impressive, but it's a different scenario than my 4 gig Windows 8 machine. So we have some stuff there. So we can use Web Authentication Broker to authenticate against those systems. And it's a few lines of code, pretty easy to do. Compared to Windows, we did some optimizations for low memory situations. So for example, we can use this for Facebook. You have the login screen from your app, you redirect to Facebook, it asks for your credentials and a consent UI, and it redirects you to your application when you're authenticated. Which is nice, you have all different apps, and you can go through your Facebook application or your Facebook login. It makes sense, right? It's the same user experience. Why do we show this? But let's imagine it's not Facebook, but it's your own company app. So I have a company app running on my phone, which is installed automatically when I enroll in the MDM environment. This app connects through VPN to my backend. Could be an Active Directory, an Azure Active Directory, whatever I choose to authenticate against. And those apps can go through that app and do like this single sign-on.
So they all go through, obviously the web authentication broker is a central component. They're all going through the same thing.
Yeah,
so you authenticate just the one time and then all the others kind of
for example,
inherit that, that authorization.
Yeah, and you can use the web authentication part or for example, what you can do that's without web authentication brokers, what Facebook uses is the Facebook app itself. So the discussion comes up once in a while. So, okay, we have this nice web UI to log in, password, and get some token back. How do I really know for sure it's their page or did somebody copy it and steal my login and password? So by using app-to-app communication with protocol handlers, for example, you can still connect to the app, authenticate, authorize, give back the token when you go back to the application. You have to build some infrastructure around that, but that's possible.
Okay.
But it's like one of the scenarios, I think, in an enterprise, especially when you have a suite of applications, it makes sense. You can obviously, every application can build their own login logic, or you do it centrally. So just as an idea, what people might think of when start building this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So let me show you a little demo and see if my web authentication broker doesn't return this kind of error. Here it is. So you will see a theme here. Most of my apps will have a button and a text box or a text label for the result. So
it's better than the UI I've had on a couple of my demos, I have to say.
Yeah, I'm a really lead enterprise app designer.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think enterprise apps are mostly supposed to be ugly, right?
Yeah, they don't need to be pretty.
So just let's go through the app. What I do is now I log in against Office 365. Already mentioned during the presentation is that Web Authentication Broker helps you do a single sign-on. It can remember your login and password. It's the first time when you log in, it asks you to do that. I sign in.
So it's saving your username and password, and then
yeah,
and subsequent, it's putting it out there, and you can just click. And say,
exactly.
Yeah.
So and I don't have to do anything with it for it. It will store it securely. I can't get to the credentials for my app, so really convenient for the user.
So the first time the user calls the Web Authentication Broker, there's a checkbox, isn't there, on there that they have to check to remember me.
It gives you a pop-up like when you browse on Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
So well, do you want to remember this password? Yes or no?
Yeah.
So
and that's functionality that's built into the broker UI.
So what I just do? Let me go through some of the code on the screen. So I'm doing OAuth against Office 365, and I will show you the configuration on Azure in a little bit. So you have an URL which has an authority, which is this login windows.net common. My resource is outlook.office365.com. It could be Facebook, it could be Twitter, but it's Office. I configured a client ID and a redirect URL. This can be anything. I have to catch it because that's what the page will set me back when it's done.
Yeah.
And Web Authentication Broker will catch it for you. So you build this really nice URL. There's a start URI and an end URI. And this is the line of code you have to do. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
If you know how it works, obviously. But
it's
a few lines of code to get this thing started. You have to hook up the mechanism for callback in your app again, because we might terminate the app on the background, right? When we start doing this authentication, building a web page and doing all this crazy stuff.
So your app will be suspended and then could be terminated actually while you're there.
Yes, in the worst case scenario, that's happening. Yeah. So,
but you're going to be reactivated and then we end up back in...
Yeah, so I'm back in the continue web authentication part with some results. I check if it's a success. If that's the case, I will get a parser token out of it. And you can imagine if we have like extra libraries, it will help you. There's now some helper functions I built. Every time I do a request, I add it to the token to the headers. And what I just do now is just a request to the Exchange Web Services to retrieve all emails with an attachment. And that's the result I show you on the page. So has attachments, is true, and select the subject, the sender, and the date time received. So let me run it again. Authenticate against Office 365. Wait a little bit, and there's the JSON or the OData context. There's a few emails here, which, well, it's a bit ugly, but they have attachments.
Yeah.
So we got a result against Office 365, yay. So, and to show you a little bit, if you have an Office 365 instance, you can connect your Azure subscription to that directory. So this is Contoso. There's a lot of users here, there's applications. I have a demo application. It's a native client. And what I can here do is, obviously there's a client ID. That's what I used in the URL.
So this is, you're configuring here mobile apps running on phones and tablets.
Yes, so I can configure
Office 365, yeah.
Yeah, so I can configure plenty of applications here, and I'm just happy to use, well, I create an application, and then what I can do, if I go to configuration, I can give permissions to different to other applications. So it's like an abstraction layer. So I have...
This is interesting. So this is the,
So I gave read access to Office 365 Exchange Online, read user's email through this application. I gave read access to Active Directory. I can add more applications, for example, SharePoint Online is there as well, and give some other permissions. And I can add other applications as well.
Right.
So through this configuration, this client, I can access these kind of services automatically.
Yeah. So the first bit where you're getting a client ID, that sort of thing, that's kind of roughly equivalent to if you were using Twitter, if we go step back to the social, and you go to dev.twitter.com, and you get a client ID and a key that you have to, and that's what you specify.
Yeah. So
that's what you'd pass in the Web Authentication Broker for a Twitter authentication.
Exactly.
So this is the equivalent.
Yeah, Azure Active Directory abstracts it away for you.
Yeah.
And you could even use Google, Twitter, and Facebook from here as well. So you could chain up a few things if you want.
All right.
Just a simple sample of the Web Authentication Broker.
Nice.
And I'm glad it ran.
So am I. We've got one working.
So quick part about authentication, and you can go crazy if you want. So let's go to security. I showed you the nice diagram with all these layers we have, and there's a lot of stuff used for us. And some stuff is already covered in other sessions, but just for repeating is, part of it is storing credentials. If you want to, for example, I showed you the app for the campus experience with a login and password, and it can automatically log me in. It stores my credentials, and we use the credential locker for that. So that's the same mechanism, that's the password vault, that's the same mechanism we are using for Internet Explorer, for email credentials, etc. It's a secure part in memory. And if you want, and if it's allowed by policies, we can roam those credentials over different devices, phones or Windows devices. Applications obviously can only access their own credentials and not other ones. And what we allow, for example, when we configure VPN, and those credentials are shared by, when Internet Explorer wants to connect your backend system, we use those credentials as well. So that's how we get to them. It's we use the same mechanism as an application developer can use as well. And the code is really, really simple. You create a password vault, and you store the credentials, and this is how you retrieve them as well. It's pretty straightforward. So I didn't even build a sample, it just worked.
Yeah, we've covered this, yeah. So
excellent.
Yeah.
So with the Converge platform, we now support a lot of crypto and certificate APIs on Windows Phone. We got a lot of questions around this in the past. Mm. Windows 8 and 8.1 already support a lot of these APIs. We can do cryptos, we can install certificates, we can use certificates with calls, we can do certificate chain testing. A lot of banks wanted to build that, and in the past you needed a third-party library. But it's now basic in the platform. There are some differences. For example, in Windows 8, we can use the manifest to install, for example, a self-signed root certificate. That's not available on Windows Phone, but you can do it through code, and I have some samples for that as well. And client certificate authentication. So, for example, you can now enroll certificates through MDM and use those to authenticate against your backend system. I have a little sample for that as well. So let's do a little crypto demo, right?
Yeah.
This is the really exciting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know you want to know.
I love crypto.
I love crypto.
That's great.
Yeah, especially I have no clue what's happening, but I'm...
Magic happens, yeah.
I hope that's why my button was called first, Magic Happens, and I renamed it, so...
Oh, really? Is that right?
This is going to be this same thing again. It's like a really well nice design. So hello. Jumpstart. By the way, did you know that you can now use the keyboard without doing page down or page up first?
Well, that's a funny thing, because I just came out with my, anybody who wants to know how to get rid of the keyboard, you've got to go, and Matthias, he says, no, you just can type now in Windows Phone 8.1.
It's like awesome.
So I discovered that this morning. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that.
So I gave the developer who built it a pat on the back, so thank you. So first we do a hash, which is just, it's a little bit long, so it's just hashing, and I will show the code in a minute. Encryption, I encrypt it, and I can decrypt it as well. And if I encrypt, and I use another key to decrypt, you will see an error. So this basic stuff, and there's a lot of algorithms and different code parts you can use. Let's show you a little bit how that worked. It's not that complicated. That's just to show you how much APIs we have now on the platform. So this is the hash part. There's different algorithms. It's MD5, SHA-1, 256, 384, 512. I'm happy to use now the SHA-512. I get my text. I pass it through this application, the algorithm name and the message. And this is the application. So I create a buffer to convert my string to a buffer. Create my algorithm provider by passing the algorithm name, so MD5 or SHA-512. Yep. And I hash the data. That's about it. I can do some base encoding, et cetera, et cetera. So all the stuff people care about when doing encryption and hashing and all that stuff is there. Yeah. Same for encryption. I have an encrypt function. This is the button. I call the text with a key. It creates an MD5 hash.
crypto buffer. We had limited support for this in Windows Phone 8, but now we've got the full WinRT cryptography.
Exactly. So there was, especially around the certificates, which I come to in a minute. It's the crypto stuff is just now comparable to Windows 8.
Yeah.
So cool. If it's symmetric key algorithms, if it's asymmetric public-private key stuff, it's all there. So just pretty powerful for the developers to use, I think. So really, really simple sample. We just talked about this, hashing, convert the buffer to whatever algorithm you want to use. Encrypting and decrypting is pretty much simple to do as well. You create a buffer, you create a symmetric key and you use that to encrypt. And it's some base 64 output because it can be weird stuff.
So we can read it basically.
Yeah. What we also support on Windows Phone now is Virtual Smart Card. People might be familiar with it on Windows.
Yeah,
I think it's the best thing since sliced bread. It made me use Vista at the time. You connect to your backend network, can't be like TPM protected smart card. You enter your PIN code and underneath it uses, for example, direct access because of this technology. We have Virtual Smart Card support as well. So it's a technology using the TPM chip, hardware-based, two-factor authentication for your certificates. For example, for S/MIME, if you want to sign or encrypt your emails, you can protect your certificates with smart cards. You have to enter a PIN code. There is a difference with Windows. With Windows Phone, we only support one Virtual Smart Card, and on Windows, we have several ones. You need to build some kind of provision application to enroll a Virtual Smart Card, but that's something, for example, Identity Manager could do, or other Identity Manager providers will build. And you can use that to in your application as well to enable this. Another part of security, we can now install application on SD cards. The tools obviously support SD cards as well. But what we now do is we copy the application, including the data, on the SD card, and every application is part on the SD card is encrypted. So, and it's per device, and every application has their own single unique key. So if you remove the SD card, you cannot access the data. So as a company, you install your application on the SD card with your company data, you don't have to worry that people will access the data.
And the interesting thing about that is the app's storage area and everything to do with the app is encrypted, but the user could actually still store their music and their photos on the card. And those areas, those kind of public folders, if you like, that's not encrypted. So it's great for the user.
Exactly. So it's still removable media for photos
and users, once they move an app on, install it onto the SD card, they can move it back again to the phone storage just whenever they want.
You can't just remove the SD card, put in another phone and use the app on that phone.
That's
a per device, per application unique thing. So it's important. A company obviously can disable the SD card. They can't encrypt it like BitLocker encryption. The hard part is, you still want to have a removal device for your photos and your documents. So we didn't do it, but you can disable it if you want through an MDM policy.
Through MDM, yeah.
So I have a little demo for certificates. So what I did, I built a little application and service, a REST and a JSON service. So let me exit and hopefully I can connect to it. Otherwise it will be... So this service is protected by a client certificate. And when I go to the browser, it asks me for a few certificates I've installed. This one is the one I want to use. And it responds with your request, but product is 2. So you can see the URL, it's an XML service, and I can do a 3 as well. This works. And if I do JSON, it's a JSON call.
So what's happening here is the backend service, it's HTTPS anyway. So usually when you go to an HTTPS site, all we've got is the server it has a certificate that it presents to the client, and you get this thing in a regular browser when you're shopping or something.
It's a little
green and say, the server's got a good certificate. So this is now extending that to mutual authentication, where not only the server presents a certificate, which the client checks, but now the server's saying, hey, I need one from you too. So the client has to send a valid certificate back.
Exactly. So I'm now proving that it works in regular Internet Explorer from my desktop, and I have the certificates installed in a store,
and
the certificate stain is my self-signed certificate.
Yep.
And the reason why I'm showing that is because on my desktop, I trusted this CA, so my certificate authority, yep. within the service certificate.
So they're the ones who issue the certificates.
Yeah, and I created them myself. So, and you can install them in your trust. On the phone, I didn't do that yet. So you will see my call will fail because it doesn't trust the...
Is this what we call a self-signed certificate?
Yeah, it's
self-signed. You've created your own CA. So,
yeah.
So normally the ones that the big, on the big internet for shopping, and that's the CAs.
They need to be public.
And they're public CAs.
Yeah. And on the phone and on Windows, we have a list of trusted CAs.
Yeah.
And we have this concept as a revocation list. So once in a while, the phone will check on internet for, okay, which one of the certificates do I need to revoke? Sometimes a company is compromised, revoke those certificates, and you don't trust a certificate signed by that certificate anymore. So that system is the same on phone as on Windows. So let me go to the application. So my self-signed certificates are not trusted on this phone. So I have a few pieces of code. No, there's no certificates installed. I have a client certificate I can install through code. I will just do that for now. So you'll see that it's listed now. And I will call it JSON servers. Let me go through the JSON, calling the JSON servers first. And you see what's, it will fail now. So the parameter is 123. I have this URL and it's now, instead of XML, it's calling JSON. It's the HTTPS one again. I want to find a certificate in my certificate store to use. And remember, I show you a little bit of code of how to install it yourself, but this can be provisioned to MDM. So imagine this custom app provisioned to MDM, including the client certificates I can use to authenticate to my backend.
So the client certificate is in a private certificate store for that app?
Yes.
Yeah.
I now want to query my certificate store, and I gave it a friendly name. You can query on issuer, on other things. So just a query on my store. This is what I call here. It's in find all sync on my certificate stores. It should have found one. More than one is a little bit weird. And I will retrieve it, and you can see now I have my certificate here. It's the client. It's signed by the test CA I used in the browser as well.
Yeah.
The subject is this. This is the one I showed on the list as well.
Yeah.
What I need, and we covered the HTTP client already, is that I have now the base protocol filter I can use to add credentials or filters, what I want.
Yeah.
So what I do now is I will add the certificate to this filter and start an HTTP client. You see that I'm now ignoring the ignorable server certificate errors. I will uncomment it later on and make sure that it works, but I'm expecting now the application to fail because I don't trust this root CA. So
what's happening here, you're sending a cert to the server,
yes,
but the server is sending a server cert, which is signed by this AdventureWorks CA.
Yes.
But because the phone doesn't trust AdventureWorks, even though it's got a client cert issued by it, then it's going to say, "Yeah, I can't talk to you."
It could be a man in the middle attack, right?
That's
what I'm simulating now. So I do a response. I have to wait a little bit. I will get an exception, and the exception will be 72FOD.
Oh, that old thing.
Yeah, that old thing.
Yeah.
Which is it means that it doesn't trust this certificate. If you look it up,
okay.
I don't know why we call it 0x800072, but if you Bing it,
that's what it is.
You will find this the untrusted part. Yeah. So let me fix that first. And I can do two things, right? I can install this root and trust it on the phone, or I can just ignore all the errors during development, which is don't do this in production.
No. We shouldn't really have properties like that, should we?
Well, it is useful when you start building it, right?
Yeah.
So let me call it again. And now I find my certificate again. I ignore the certificate errors. And here I know
you've got your response.
I got my response. You request the product 123.
Cool.
So I'm going to use client certificates. If you want to list certificates installed on the phone, normally I will only see my own certificates. It's all done by the application, installed by the application. I will see those. What I can do is change the manifest. Capabilities, and you have to specify access to shared user certificates. This is something you can only use for side-loaded applications. And we will talk about that in a little bit, but the store applications cannot use this capability.
Yeah, apps you distribute through the normal process by submitting them to us for verification and then distribution. You can't use.
Same goes, by the way, for the enterprise authentication. That's not available for store apps either.
All right, okay.
But since a lot of enterprise applications will never go through the store, that's okay.
Yeah.
So listing certificates is just going, okay, give me all the certificate stores, find all. You can do queries if you want and specify it as well. And I have to install a sample here. Let me just get rid of this one. So this was the button I called when installing the client certificate app. I have it as part of my project, which it depends how you want to install an app in a client cert, right? Could do NDM. You can authenticate against the backend where it creates your cert, you downloaded it and start using it from then on. And you have a single sign-on, for example. It depends on the scenario. I will just access the file, load it in a buffer, and I read it to my, it's a base 64 string, and then I call the certificate enrollment manager dot user certificate enrollment manager dot import pfx data async, which is an interesting name. The certificate, the password, if it's exportable or not, etc. This is just a friendly name. This will install the certificate in my store, the same as like double clicking on the file on Windows and say install. This the code is the same for Windows and Windows Phone now. And it makes the magic happen.
That's great. It's cool. We didn't have any support for client certs in Windows Phone 8.
No. So there was a trick.
In fact,
to
there wasn't even any for server certs. There was no way of programmatically installing them. The only way was exposing it on a, you know, a protected website and then tapping on it, or you could send it by email.
Yeah, exactly. And you couldn't get rid of it there at all because it was once it was installed, it was there, right?
Yeah, you had to reset the phone.
And there was some tricks to do, for example, Outlook Web Access Exchange Sync with the client cert. But if you have like a couple of them, you couldn't choose which one you want to use.
Yeah.
So we have now. So now when I browse on my phone to a website, it asks me for the certificates installed on the phone as well. So
that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. We finally have this support. So we can do check for man-in-the-middle attack, certificate change, etc.
Cool.
So again, installing the certificates, this is this code. Just import the PFX, and you can also import the .0 files as well. So it depends on your scenario. This is another sample, for example, to add a trusted root certificate. I could have done this with the CA file, a CRO file for this AdventureWork CA, and then I didn't need to ignore the errors. So now switch, there was certificates and security. So a little bit about the company portal. First of all, you don't need to build a company portal to start building enterprise apps on Windows Phone.
So what is a company portal?
So it's just like in the internet homepage. It could be something like that. So it's the homepage on your phone for your internal organization. Most of the times, it's just a catalog of apps.
Yeah.
If you use an MDM provider like Mobile Iron, AirWatch, or Intune, they provide an app or a web page for you already. The thing is, you can build one yourself, and there's some interesting scenarios. So for example, the authentication part we just talked about with this scenario, you could be part of that. Some IT news, you can use notifications on the app to make it more interesting and engaging for users when they're on the road. So there's some advantages building this kind of app, but you don't need one if you don't want to build one. That's just the thing. And it's just a Windows Phone app, right? So you can do all the magic you're used to on the platform. So I have a really nice animation, right?
Oh. Beautiful. Wow, you took a lot of time on that. Actually, I know you didn't make that slide.
No, I know. Don't ruin it, man.
Sorry.
So we have some APIs we can use from within these apps. So you can list all the apps installed from this publisher yourself. You can add extra packages and install them by calling add package async and a URL to the path of the XAP or the Apex. This the find apps is like listing all the apps published by this publisher, so you can make a list, for example, oh, this is already installed, open up the app. So it's like building an application catalog. We did some improvements compared to Windows Phone 8. We could already enumerate and launch apps and install them. We can also get some more information. So you can enroll through the phone in one organization, but manually you can do it in multiple. We can list those. We can renew the enrollment, and we'll cover that a little bit. You can unenroll from an environment through the app as well, which is interesting. So people say, well, I don't want to be part of this anymore. My phone is locked down. I can't use my camera. I can't use my other apps anymore. Yeah. So just get rid of this stuff. And please keep my personal data. We support it now as well.
All right.
Company portals must be Silverlight apps. Can be Silverlight 8.1, but cannot be WinRT apps to use these APIs.
All right.
What's interesting is, you can make a connection to other apps. If you use this URL, company portal double dot, you can link to a company app.
Oh, this is the launch URI.
So yeah. So okay. If you have the company portal installed, it will automatically go to the application in that catalog, which is interesting. So you can share interesting company apps to this scenario. So now we build this great line of business app. And I want my users to start using it. So how do we get these things on the phone? There's a couple of ways. Through the store, obviously.
You can just submit it through the regular public store.
It's like what we did with Link or Skype or CRM.
So in that case, I guess, obviously, the first thing that anybody would see when they launch the app is a challenge for your credentials. So it's no harm in distributing it through the public store.
Exactly, but there's one catch. Is Microsoft needs to be able to test your application. Or you have to have a great demo mode, but you have to provide some test credentials for Microsoft to test.
So submit for testing, you can notes to testers you can put in there. So
yeah, that's the space, exactly. Or some instructions how to test it or work around or whatever. You can use beta apps. They don't expire anymore. It's a bit cumbersome because you have to specify all the live IDs for people. And what you can't do is you can't remote remove apps. So you can't expire a beta and
no
get rid of it.
No app management, really.
No, you have to have like a kill switch. You need to build a kill switch in your app.
Yep.
You can publish them through store hidden and provide deep links to your customers. Or you can do start sideloading through an MDM environment or website or email. Let's get through it. So there's some differences. Enrollment is through MDM or a workplace app. Or you can do it through a browser. You can, if it's managed, only one environment. You can have multiple if you want unmanaged, mostly in a testing kind of environment. We have a lot of policies, so we can update and remove apps remotely if you do it a managed way. So there are differences between managed and unmanaged.
So managed phones are ones that the company kind of totally owns and issues to their workforce, and these phones are locked down by an MDM.
But it can be and bring your own as well, right? So I didn't buy my own because my manager got me one in the phone team. That's one of the lucky ones. But you can imagine that you have your own phone, but you want to reach your corporate email and connect to the internet. And then your company can say, well, that's okay, but you have to enroll and you have to abide by our policies, which prevent you from, example, saving documents or copy-pasting. If you don't want it, that's okay, but you can't access those resources. So we won't touch your personal stuff, but we will have some policies on the phone which we think are necessary when you start building, bringing your own.
And obviously, policies will enforce things like the complexity of the PIN code to access.
And after three wrong PIN codes, we wipe the device.
Yeah.
If you unenroll the device, we only remove the corporate data. We can remote wipe the device as well, things like that. So if you don't want it, if it's bringing your own, that's good. It depends on the policies the company specifies. So public versus private. Public, you go through the Microsoft certificate process. If you don't want to do it, you want sideload apps, you are responsible for your own Q&A, quality and assurance and testing. You have to create an account for sideloading. So it needs to be a company account. And your publishing name is something you specify with Semantic. So Semantic, we are using Semantic, where you can buy a code signing certificate for $300 a year. There's some information you need to copy over. The Semantic ID is pasted on the Semantic website. And at the end, what it will do is generate a certificate on your machine, which you can export and start using to sign your applications. So this is you have to have a process in place.
Every app has to be signed by somebody.
Yes.
You can't have completely...
We talked about security in a sandbox, and every application needs to be signed. We checked that. It's either through the signing process of Microsoft, then going to the store, or your own process.
Yeah, and in fact, even apps that you put on, when you're in development in Visual Studio and you run an app on the emulator or on a phone, they're being signed.
Yes.
At the point that they're being signed by a temporary certificate, a certificate just for dev work.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're always signed by somebody.
So what you need on the phone is an application enrollment token. It's this little XML file with a signed publisher ID, which we use to check if the application can be run. And you can distribute it through an MDM, or you can generate your own by using a tool which is installed with the SDK. And what happens then, every time you install an application, you sideload, we check if this publisher ID is available on the phone. This file, this token, is valid for 12 months. And whenever you install an application, we extract the publisher ID and we compare it to the publisher ID and the tokens on the phone. And if the token is valid and the publisher ID is the same, we allow this application to install. So this is the process. You sign the app and you have the app with the signature. When you install through email or through MDM, the enterprise service will check if it's valid. And the signature is the same as we stored in the token. Runtime is interesting as well. As we launch the app, we check, is this publisher ID available in a token on the phone, and is the token still valid? So the token needs to be valid, and we can expire the token after 12 months, or we can revoke it as well, as Microsoft. How does it work? Every 24 hours, Microsoft, the phone phones home to the Microsoft servers, and we validate if the publisher ID is still valid. And if we fail after 7 times, so after 7 days, you cannot install a new application signed with that publisher or with that certificate anymore. We can still launch the app. So if you're like on a cruise ship for 2 weeks with a special line of business app, we can still run the app. And I think after 30, 31 days, then we stop running apps as well. So you need to have an online connection to validate that token at least once a month to keep your apps running.
Yep.
So what happens is what we send to Microsoft from the phone is a device ID, the different publisher IDs. You can have multiple publisher IDs on the tokens on the phone with the application IDs. That's it. We don't say tell you what kind of names or what kind of applications are, just the IDs. And we will return your a status per publisher ID. It's valid or invalid. And once it's invalid, after that, we won't start the application anymore because the token is invalid. And it's, for example, to prevent an illegal marketplace, for example.
Right, yeah.
What do I say? Well, we sign the applications or you do it yourself. There's scripts for it. This is a bit weird. We have scripts for Silverlight 8.0 applications. And what it will do, it will also optimize the apps, it will sign it. We have a separate one for Silverlight 8.1 apps. That's because we can use Windows runtime components in it, so it will extract those and sign it for you. And we have another script for store apps. So they're all there. You have to figure out which script to use when you start signing.
These all come with the SDKs.
Yes, they're all installed.
Have them all. Yeah.
So enroll the phone through login and password. You will have a company portal where you can install apps from. You can do it manually. This is the UI you will see when you send it through email or through a website. You can install the token separately, and then you can install the app. It will ask you nicely, and it will install it. And there are some differences. So you have managed, you have an environment. Some MDM providers, by the way, provide it for free. They offer extra service on top of the MDM part, configuration part, as an extra service. So this is all the differences between one and the other.
Unmanaged is much more manual and...
It's mostly used in a smaller testing environment. So for example, not be able to uninstall apps or unroll device that's in a blocker for a lot of companies. So most of them use some kind of MDM environment.
Full MDM, yeah.
So there's some considerations when you do sideloading. When you want to use shared user certificates or enterprise authentication, you'd need to use sideloading. You can't go through the store. But if you have a store, if you have and the things which are not working where you do side loading apps is, for example, data synchronization. So you cover that, what you can sync your settings between different devices.
Or the data roaming, yeah.
The data roaming, yeah. That won't work for side loaded apps. Okay. And at the moment, we cannot use the Windows notification service, push notifications.
Okay.
You need to register your app in the store to get some secrets, because behind the application, the IDs change. So you can still use MPN, the old system, nice. But not the Windows notification services.
Okay.
So you have to be aware of that. So a few other things. Part what we now understand support on Windows Phone 8.1 is the enterprise lockdown or assigned access. And what you can do is by, it's supported through an MDM environment, we can send a specific load of XML, payload of XML, which can configure your start screen, your application screen, and your settings screen. Which makes it interesting when you start deploying a customized business app. So imagine I want to deploy this field engineering app, I want to configure a VPN, certificates to authenticate, a mailbox, and some policies. I can't access the store, I cannot develop or unlock and start siloing apps. I cannot unenroll from MDM, I cannot factory reset my phone. This would be a perfect scenario for a field engineer with a specific phone just available for this scenario. So he can't sell it on eBay or lose it and use it himself or his kids, right? So we have great capabilities now besides building applications on a phone for this kind of scenarios.
Cool.
NFC support, and I know you covered already, for example, people want to use the phone to have building access.
Yeah.
Instead of the badge, which makes an interesting interesting scenario.
Yeah.
This one is an interesting, just to give you some thoughts about what an enterprise app could be as well, is you can use the light sensor not only about for adjusting the screen brightness, but there are some companies who use it for location purposes inside as well.
Huh.
There are lights in the building which pulse in a certain way. You won't see, but the sensor can detect. So it knows where it is because of the different pulses it can detect. So they use the light sensor to determine location in a building.
Interesting.
So just it's not about an ordering system or a context or a CRM system all the time. And obviously, we have Internet Explorer 11 on the device to build great web experiences cross-platform as well, because we support so many new standards now.
Yeah.
So all your HTML developers can go crazy now. I think that rounds up my enterprise talk for now.
Great.
I'm over time, right? Yeah.
You're over time.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. It's all right.
So I hope
join the club.
I didn't want to fall out of tone, right?
Yeah, so
we covered a lot, right? Most of it is just it's the same as any apps, just different scenarios you can concentrate on.
Great, thanks very much for coming in and giving us that. Thanks a lot.
All right.
So we're going to take a short break. We just got one short little session on SQLite, just to round things off for the afternoon. So we'll see you in just a few minutes.